The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler for the North Carolina Reading Service, and welcome to Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from National Gardening Bureau e-newsletter, Better Homes and Gardens magazine, Triangle Gardener magazine, or maybe from Garden Smarts by Shelley Goldblum. We'll start with the National Gardener Bureau e-newsletter. Just because summer comes to a close does not mean the homegrown harvest has to end. This is written by Nikki Jabor, a Savvy Gardening. In my large vegetable garden, I plant new seeds and seedlings from midsummer through early fall, so we have plenty of vegetables to harvest in autumn and even winter, and I live in Canada. Below, I outline some of my summer succession planting techniques. Cleaning out spent props. Before I can sow more seeds or plant more seedlings in mid to late summer, I need to clean out spent vegetables. It can be tricky to tell when it's time to pull out a crop. Sometimes vegetables, peas and beans, keep producing a few pods here and there, and you may be hesitant to pull them out. My motto is to remove vegetable plants as soon as production declines. Amending the soil. We've all heard the saying, feed the soil, not the plant. And this is super important when succession planting. The soil must be healthy and fertile in order to grow a bumper crop of vegetables. I amend my beds with an inch of compost or aged manure between planting. I also apply slow-released organic vegetable fertilizer. If you're not sure of your soil fertility, get it tested. You don't want to apply unnecessary amendments and fertilizers. It's a good idea to get a soil test every 3 to 4 years so you have an overview of your soil's health. When to plant. Some crops, like radishes, arugula, and leaf lettuce, are quick-growing and ready to harvest just a month from sowing. Others, like cabbage, Brussels sprouts, beets, and kohlrabi, need more time and have to be planted earlier in the season. So how do you know when to plant? Read your seed packet for days to maturity information. That tells you how much time a crop needs to go from seed to harvest. I like to build in an extra week because plant growth slows in autumn when the day length is shrinking. Then count backward from your average first frost date, and you'll know when to plant. For example, Katarina cabbage takes 55 days to go from seed to harvest. If your first frost date is October 1st, count backyards 55 days plus 1 week for the slower fall growth. You should sow seeds on July 31st. Cone and kohlrabi takes 50 days to go from seed to harvest. Sow seeds August 5th. It's time to think about what to plant. There is no shortage of delicious, easy-to-grow vegetables you can plant for fall and winter harvesting. I live in eastern Canada in Zone 5 and still harvest all winter long with my sneaky season extenders. Next, vegetables are some of my favorites to grow in autumn. Prism kale. This gorgeous kale yields a large harvest of tender, deeply curled leaves. You can grow it as a baby crop about 40 days. or for full-size plants, 50 days. It's also great in containers if you're short on space. Mature plants grow just 15 inches tall, but pack a lot of these into that small space. Asian Delight Pak Choi. I'm a big fan of Pak Choi, a type of Chinese cabbage that is very quick to grow. Just a month for baby plants or 6 weeks for mature heads. The bright white ribs are topped with dark green leaves, and Asian Delight is slower to bolt than other varieties. This vegetable adds a big crunch to autumn stir fries. Katarina cabbage. I've been growing Katarina for several years now, often planting it for both spring and autumn crops. It's the fastest growing cabbage in my garden by far, with 4 to 5 inch diameter heads ready to cut 45 days from plants transplanting, 55 days from seeding. It's got a fantastic sweet cabbage flavor and is the perfect size for a family meal. Bunching warrior onion. Bunching onions, also known as scallions or green onions, are non-bulbing onions with crisp white stalks and deep green leaves. These are essential in my kitchen. Bunching warrior is a variety that is cold hardy and can be harvested from mid-autumn and even into winter if grown in a cold frame or greenhouse. Conan kohlrabi. I've always thought that kohlrabi was an underappreciated veggie. It's a member of the cabbage family and thrives in the cool temperatures of autumn. The leaves are edible, but the real prize is the globe-shaped stem that is sweet and crisp. We enjoy it raw and cooked. Conan is ready to harvest 50 days from seeding or around 42 from transplanting. Sweet baby radish. My family loves the spicy special flavor of fresh radishes, and I've been growing sweet baby for a few years now. The roots are gorgeous, purple skin with bright white, purple streaked interiors. It is also easy to grow with roots ready to pull in about 40 days. Sow seed often for a continual supply of high-quality radishes. Sandy lettuce. Oak leaf lettuce is cool-tolerant and fast-growing, perfect for autumn salads. Sandy is an award-winning variety with 10-inch diameter heads packed with frilly, deep green leaves. You can harvest them as a baby crop just a month from seeding, or give them another 2 or 3 weeks to mature to a full-sized head. Sandy is also slow to bolt and disease-resistant, a perfect lettuce for the fall garden, greenhouse, or cold frame. Season extenders. Cold frame. A cold frame is just a bottomless box with a clear top. I make mine from untreated local hemlock. But you can also buy cold frames, often made from polycarbonate. These capture solar energy and create a microclimate around your crops. Cold frames can extend the harvest by 6 to 8 weeks in spring and again in autumn. They're perfect for compact vegetables like kale, mizuna, lettuce, scallions, beets, carrots, and pak choi. Mini hoop tunnel. Mini hoop tunnels are quick and easy to build. We make ours from 10-foot lengths of 1/2-inch diameter PVC conduit. These are bent over my raised beds and then covered with a row cover or sheet of polythylon, depending on the season. They'll push back spring by about a month or stretch the autumn harvest by 4 to 6 weeks. Polytunnel. Having a 14 by 24 foot polytunnel in the middle of the garden has really upped our year-round production. Not only do I get a jump on the spring planting season with extra early greens and root crops, but we also enjoy an early crop of cucumbers, tomatoes. Once summer begins to wind down, I fill the beds with autumn crops like cabbage, scallions, kohlrabi, beets, radishes, carrots, and salad greens. Simple ways to extend your fall harvest. Joyce Wright. Hi there. The above cold weather ideas are intriguing to try. However, I'm in Northeast, specifically Staten Island, New York. I'd like to try something and wonder, is there a chance the hoop or cold frame would work? For the past few winters, we have had mild weather and no snow, but who knows this year? Do you think it's worth the effort? Hi, Joyce. Great question. I live in Zone 5 in Nova Scotia, north of New York, and I use all of these season extenders in my garden to extend my harvest. A cold frame is the most effective if you're comparing it to a mini hoop tunnel. You can use it to have salads and root crops into late autumn or even winter, depending what you're growing. I like to grow spinach, arugula, winter lettuces, carrots, and beets, for example. I have a lot of detail on cold grain growing in my first book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, and my upcoming book, Growing Undercover, if you're looking for more information. Now from Triangle Gardener Magazine, Getting to Know Your Weeds by Dale Batchelor. I love to weed. The expression on people's faces whenever I say so tells me that very few of them share my passion. Most consider weeding yet another battle to be waged in the garden. To me, the work feels more like editing, getting rid of extraneous elements, and making sure things are in the correct place. Gardeners often define a weed as any plant growing in the wrong place. My perspective, as someone working to create a garden that is both beautiful and manageable, is that a weed is anything that disturbs the balance of the plant communities I'm working to make, to create. The single best strategy for lowering maintenance is to prevent weeds from getting established in the first place. This may sound simple, but it's not. Weeds are weeds because they are adaptable and resilient. Weeds enter gardens in many different ways. The most fundamental is their existence in the soil before the gardener arrives on the scene. Seeds can lie dormant for hundreds of years before a disturbance brings them to the surface. The soil seed bank is what permits forests to regenerate after a fire. It also enables native Mary Bells to return to our woodland after we removed the invasive Japanese honeysuckle growing there. A less welcome gift from the seed bank was the Virginia buttonweed that emerged and formed dense mats in our deeply tilled and amended, well-irrigated veggie plot. Long after we abandoned this plot for easier-to-manage stock tank planters, the former veggie plots continued to be a weed-plagued area. Using a no-till approach and incorporating the use of winter cover crops and mulch will reduce weed germination in vegetable beds. Minimizing soil disturbance is also a strategy against weeds in shrub and flower beds. Layering compost on top of a perennial and shrub plantings rather than tilling it in helps minimize weeds and reduces harm to beneficial soil organisms. Irrigation for new plantings should be directed to their roots and used only until the plants are fully established, usually in 1 to 2 years. Broader sprinkling or excessive irrigation helps weeds thrive. Another strategy is the use of ground covers. Nature really does abhor a vacuum, a dense planting in which beds are filled with companionable plants leaves few openings for weeds to occur. Some weeds are transported by water flowing into a property. Japanese stilt grass is an invasive species that quickly displaces native woodland plants. Stilt grass is an easy-to-pull annual that can be eliminated by hand weeding done before it sets seed in late summer. Its seeds persist in the soil for 5 years, so an established patch may take several years of vigilance to remove completely. Eradication might also require cooperation with neighbors whose properties drain into yours. Birds and other animals are expert distributors of weed seeds. Moving seeds is part of their role in the natural world. English ivy is a weed, many times eradicated, that returns over and over to our yard with the help of birds. English ivy doesn't flower when it grows along the ground, but it begins to flower and bear fruit when it reaches the treetops. Birds eat the fruit, then replant it in our garden with a healthy dose of fertilizer. To prevent this from happening, English ivy should never be allowed to climb them. Perhaps the most prevalent and least realized way that weeds enter our garden is that we bring them in ourselves. Weeds ride in on clumps of pass-along plants we receive from friends. They hide in nursery pots, and sometimes they arrive in the mulch brought in to defeat them. Quite a few of the worst weeds I've encountered are plants we deliberately planted. We sought out Italian arum for its beautiful wintergreen foliage. Some years later, we realized the plants not only increased by producing tiny, almost impossible to dig out bulblets, they also increased by seed. Now Italian arum has invaded our woodland garden, leaving me determined never again to plant anything I can't kill. The more you know about the weeds in your garden, the better able you will be able to remove them. Annual weeds are often easy to pull, but need to be removed promptly before releasing the abundant seeds they typically produce. Perennial weeds are usually top-killed, but often require a second vinegar application. Corn gluten is an organic pre-emergent herbicide that stops many, but not all, annual weeds from germinating. I've learned which weeds pre-emergents kill at NC State's Weeds of Container Nurseries website. In her excellent book, My Weeds, Sarah Steen describes weeding as finicky work, requiring an overestimation of the importance of the detail, a nearsighted view of things. I would add that weeding, like editing, also requires a firm grasp of the subject matter. Steen's book, written about her New England garden, ignited my fascination with weeds and provided the foundation I needed to learn about the weeds in my triangle garden. Dale Batchelor owns Gardener by Nature, LLC, a residential design and consultation company in Raleigh, emphasizing sustainable landscapes and native plants. With her husband, John Thomas, she co-created Swiftbrook Gardens, a habitat certified by the NC Native Plant Society and the National Wildlife Federation. A note on using vinegar as an herbicide on weeds. We find 20% vinegar with no additives effective on most annual weeds. Two applications are typically needed for perennial weeds. A 20% vinegar is organic and breaks down easily, but it is a harsh substance that needs to be used with caution. We have not succeeded in killing weeds with regular household vinegar, which is 5% acetic acid. Others report they have. Formulas described as effective often have dishwashing liquid and or salt added to the vinegar, though these substances are toxic. Dishwashing liquid kills most insects. That's how to kill Japanese beetles. Salt is toxic to soil organisms. Gas weed torches are another method, but caution is needed to avoid harming desirable plants or igniting dry material. And now, from Garden Smarts by Shelley Goldblum. Virginia native Elsa Yesk discovered a good way to keep her broccoli from getting wormy. She ties netting over each head. You can reuse it from year to year, she says. Kathy Deering was frustrated by cabbage worms eating the cabbages in her Seattle garden until she made collars of tar paper and laid these flat on the ground around each cabbage plant. Cut the circles about 8 inches in diameter, she advises, with a hole cut out of the center to accommodate the stem. To keep spinach miners off spinach plants while they're tender and susceptible, and cabbage moths from laying eggs on cabbage and broccoli throughout the summer, cover them with Remay, a spun-bonded polyester fabric available through garden catalogs, advises Kansas City, Missouri native Ruth Coombs. Lay it over hoops cut from wire coat hangers to give the plants growing room. If the growing season is wet, slugs may come through the drainage holes in potted patio plants. To prevent this, put small weave nylon tulle or Remay on the bottom of the pot before adding the foil or other potting medium. Fiberglass screen also works. Horticulturist Barbara Voigt of Madison, Wisconsin, cuts screen to size and places it in the bottom of outdoor flower pots to keep out worms and sow bugs. Commercial remedies. When using dormant oil sprays, temperature is a critical factor. If the temperature fluctuates below 45 and above 85 degrees Fahrenheit within 1 month, you cannot use them. Sometimes that's hard to predict, notes Beth Widener, groundskeeping supervisor for the Alfred B. McClay Gardens in Tallahassee, Florida. Newer ultra-refined oil sprays are less temperature-specific. If temperature fluctuations are a problem, go for those, Beth adds. Beth is concerned, however, that folks may not follow printed guidelines for correct use. Sometimes people read pesticide directions that call for 1 teaspoon of pesticide per garden of water, and they figure that if a little is good, a lot is better. They don't realize, but not only are they harming the environment and their plants, but they're also breaking the law. It is illegal to use any pesticide in any way, not in accordance with the label, stresses Beth Widener. A sudsy solution. If you bring ornamental patio plants indoors for the cold season, be aware that they may harbor hitchhikers. There's an effective, safe, non-toxic way to prevent such insects from ruining your other houseplants, says Beatrice Spearing of Vancouver, British Columbia. I learned this tip from the Adversary Service of Vancouver's famed Van Dusen Botanical Garden. When your bars of soap get too small to use anymore, don't throw them away. Shave them with a vegetable peeler. Put the shavings in a spray bottle and fill the bottle with water. Spray the plants thoroughly. remembering to wet the trunk and the underside of the leaves, too. Peppers. Don't pull sweet peppers off, or you risk tearing the plant apart. Cut them, leaving 1/2 inch of stem on the pepper.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Out in the Garden on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.